Day 13. Pray for the spirit of burning. Quote, "And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion shall be called holy, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion."
Okay. Zion, or Israel, is a figure or symbol or type of the new Jerusalem, the new Israel. The new Jew. A Jew is one that believes in the Lord. And those that believe in the Lord are the ones that keep the commandments. The ones that just think they sit and listen to the messages. And like I said in one of my other messages, that unsaved people are capable of listening to these messages and knowing them just as well as any saved person can know them, and sometimes even better, because they may have more brilliant minds than people that are saved. But the difference between the unsaved ones is there's no life in it. But they're able to... Theological seminaries are full of people that are students and even teachers that are not saved. And there are many ministers, pastors all over the world that are not saved, and that's why we're praying for them in theological seminaries, that the students will be saved so that they can, God can send them, because they're prepared, not so much with the learning, but by the Spirit. Because just learning kills, and the Spirit living inside is what brings forth life. Life is the Lord. Life in a person is the Lord in them. And so the filth that is in Zion is the filth that's in the born-again Christian. When they first get saved, they're not they're cleansed of all their former sins, but they're still uneducated by the Spirit. The Spirit is not grown up in them. The Spirit just enters their body, and they are babes, and they're full of sometimes their own ways, because they don't know what the Word says yet. The Word and the Spirit corrects them as they grow. And so they're going to, for sure, there's still a lot of carnality in them. Even though the Spirit's in them and they're cleansed and they're striving, they're moving towards or getting stronger day by day by the things that the Spirit gives them, and by receiving what the Spirit says and by receiving what the Word says, they don't longer lie. They no longer lust. These things automatically come into a person. They no longer break the Ten Commandments, because the seed is in them. And we're likened unto fertile ground. But the Lord is talking about getting all the filth out of Zion. Zion. And what is Zion? I mean, you were bat mitzvah, were you not? In the Hebrew school?
Yeah.
Okay, what is that supposed to be? Zion.
Israel.
Yes, Israel. So we're the new Israel. The promised land was symbolic in the Old Testament of heaven. But you had to, when they got into the new, the promised land, they were supposed to rule it and to get rid of all the filth in there. To remove it, get it out of there. And that's what is supposed to happen when a person gets saved, because you are a member of Jerusalem, the new Zion. And all the filth has to be gotten out of, as you're growing up in the Lord, you spot things and say, "Oh my God, I was like a beast. I didn't realize these things, and so I confess them now and get rid of them." But you never get worse. Anytime you see people getting worse and worse and worse, that they just keep lying and they can't stop from lying and they don't think there's anything wrong with it, the conscience is seared in that person. And they're not interested in getting the filth out of them. They just think everything is just a big joke. Or they see somebody else doing things that may be approved by the Lord, but to them it's sin. So they misjudge the word of the Lord and everything, so that gives them, they think, the license to just keep lying or what is stealing or usurping authority or lusting or not loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, not caring about others, preferring others before themselves. They commit adultery, fornication, they lie, steal, covet, everything in the book. The Lord says if you just break one of those, you've broken them all. But right here in this scripture, the Lord is talking about cleaning all the filth out of Zion. Okay, so go ahead and read that again.
And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion shall be called holy.
Yeah, those that stay in the Lord, stay in Israel, the new Jerusalem, shall be called holy. Not those that fell away, but those that stay in the Lord. Just because they're in the synagogue or in the church doesn't mean that they're holy, but those that stay in the Spirit shall be called holy. Okay, in the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is totally spiritual. There's no carnality there whatsoever. And no one that remained carnal is in the new Jerusalem. And there's no one that still has filth in them that is in the new Jerusalem or is the bride of Christ or is the part of the church or the body of Christ. Okay, then what?
And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion shall be called holy when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion.
They be called holy once they have striven for perfection and become perfect by the filth being washed out of them and them totally taking in the Spirit and putting away the filth. But there's some in the church that you see getting filthier and filthier as day goes by. More self-willed. They are not. The daughters of Zion, or the sons of God either, the sons of Zion. Okay, then what? Then dot dot dot.
By the spirit of judgment.
This is the filth has gone away by the spirit of judging, because you're supposed to judge your own self to see if you're lined up with the word of God if you care about your soul. So by the spirit of judgment. Because the Spirit of God will convict your conscience, your spirit, and then you'll judge yourself by the word. See, if this is really of the Lord, that I'm being judged for doing this wrong. So you look in the word, and then you say, yes, this is, I am doing this wrong. The Spirit and the word agree, and I agree with the Spirit and the word, and so I'm going to clean this filth out of me. I'm not going to just keep going and going because I think I'm a smart person and make myself look stupidly to the congregation and like a bum or like a devil. But I'm going to clean and purge myself by first judgment. Okay, then what else?
And by the spirit of burning.
By the spirit of burning. So you pray for the spirit of burning. Okay, then what?
That was Isaiah 4:3-4.
Yeah, now pick it up, and let's read it.
And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem.
Yeah, written among the living. The ones that are alive in the Spirit, that are in the New Jerusalem, which is the habitation of the Lord. Your body, know you not that your body is the temple of God and there can't be any filth in it? And so in order to make it a fit place for the Lord to live in, you have to first be cleansed of all your sins and tell the Lord that you're going to walk in the Spirit and keep going forward in the Spirit until you grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ, until you die to the point to where only Christ lives in you. No lies remain in you, no hidden secrets from the Lord. No hidden secrets from your husband or your wife. There's no way you can be one with, you know, your all these different secrets of that which you've done before with other men or women, because then that's that you're still married to them because you hold those things dear and near to your heart. And you have too much pride to let it go. So the filth never gets purged out of you. Can you read again?
And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning.
Okay. So this message is pray for the spirit of burning. Amen?
Amen.
There's a spirit of burning, according to the word of the Lord. Okay? Now, none of you know what that means, do you? The spirit of burning? Do you? If you do, speak up. Okay, well, go ahead. I've written about it.
Okay. A washing by fire.
It's a washing by fire. You know, by judging yourself and then shaping up to the word of the Lord, not just talk, knowing what the scriptures say, but by doing. What is fire? What's fire for you to confess? Isn't it? It breaks the ego. It breaks the pride, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
People want to get rid of pride because pride always goes before a fall, before destruction. So, but it's a burning thing. You can't do it. You can't release it. It would be too much fire, you feel. It just burns too much to actually confess and repent. And so you can never be purged. Read that again.
A washing by fire.
Yes. When you first get saved, you know, people go up and give their testimonies. I used to be a prostitute. And the Bible just comes out and says, you know, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Her testimony is she's unashamed. She says, yes, I was, but look at me now. I'm the first lady evangelist that ever lived. And I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost because I emptied the evil that was in me. I allowed the purging, the burning, the spirit of burning to happen to me because I confessed my sins and I forsook them. And I'm washed with the spirit of burning, the spirit of judgment. I judged myself and I said by the word of God, I was a weasel, a whore, a pimp. I wasn't even a whore. I used to just give myself away. Because I had this spirit in me that a wanton spirit, and I've prayed, you know, that God would make me holy, and that I would become cleansed, and a vessel, or a container, or an instrument worthy of the Master's use, where He can enter into me and you know, move me, impel me to do things for Him. I want Him to do that. I want to be used by the Lord. I want to do something for God on this side of eternity so that I can merit entering into the promised land. Kingdom of heaven. So read that part again.
A washing by fire.
This is a washing by fire. How can you be washed if you don't confess? Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You're just saying, I'm perfect, and so I need no washing. The Bible says that a common harlot shall enter the kingdom of heaven before the self-righteous. Because you're righteous in your own eyes, and not by judging yourself by the word of the Lord. So you have to burn all that out of you. A fire. Can you read it again?
A washing by fire.
So you have to be, you start, when the Lord washes you of your former sins, but then you have to start judging yourself and start cleansing yourself. You're washed by my word, by compliance to His word, by start lining yourself up to the Word of the Lord. Take the measuring rod that it talks of, that John talked of in the book of Revelation, and start measuring. Like in the 11th chapter of the Revelation, then a measuring rod came out when the Word of God dawned on people, and they started measuring themselves up with the Word of God so that they could begin the burning process, a washing by fire. To just judge yourself, it's better to judge yourself here, the Bible says, and shape up to what the Word of God says that you ought to be before you stand before the Lord, and let Him judge you and sling your soul into hell. Because He's going to judge you by that Bible that's in your hands or on your table or hidden inside your trunk or in your end table of your bed. Whatever they call them. What do they call those little tables on each side?
Nightstands.
Or on your bookshelf. God isn't going to pull out a new rule book on you. He's going to judge you by that word. What kind? God would have to be a very cruel person, a very cruel God, to judge you by any other rule book than that Bible. He's not going to spring some new rules on you or come up with a weaker version of His rules. That's why He gave us the Word, the living Word, to judge ourselves so that we could be cleansed by fire. We have to cleanse ourselves. He washes you for all your past sins and then tells you, now you take up the cross and start growing up and washing yourself by the Word. You're cleansed by my Word. So He says, read my Word. I'm not going to read it, for I already know I am the Word. You read me. It's like they say, do you read me? Read me. And if you want me and to live with me, do what me says. Now start burning, purging, cleansing yourself with the spirit of burning, which is in the Word. Start living your life according to what I say, not what you say. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to lose some status here on earth if I do everything that you say. And so I'm going to pick and choose from the Bible what it is that I'm supposed to, that I'm going to do. I'll be my own master. I'll choose what I'll do in the Word and what I won't do. And just about everybody in this world is doing it that way. You hear all kinds of people professing, oh, you know, I keep the commandment, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't fornicate, or I don't commit adultery. And yet, they do something else. Well, I know, but God will weigh me in the balances, and I'm only doing three or four. No, the Lord says, if you broke one, if you're breaking one commandment, you're breaking them all. Every single one. If you're confessing that you've broken one, you're breaking every single one of them. If you're lying, you're also not loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're a liar, you don't care anything about your neighbor. You put yourself much higher than your neighbor. If you're lying, you're an adulteress or an adulterer. If you're lying, you're a coveter. You're coveting somebody's affection. That's why you lie. If you're a liar, you are committing every sin. You're murdering. You're killing. You're breaking every commandment in the Bible. If you're an adulteress, well, you don't care anything about souls because you're looking at people, trying to get them to lust after you, staring at them, smiling at them. The people in Egypt think that the American women are nothing but whores because they smile and flirt. If they did that in the Arabic countries, and they would, their husbands would kill them because that's considered adultery over there. You just see women and men that are married laughing and joking in offices where they work with other men and women. And you see him committing adultery. That's how it gets started. So the Lord tells males and females, or the females to forsake all others and keep thee only to your husband. And you're to keep yourself to your wife. Well, you might say, well, then what about David? I mean, he had all these wives and everything. How would he keep himself to his wife? They all in one body were his wife. God said he gave all those wives to him. But he committed adultery. And that's what caused him the trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Moses had three wives. And there was some kind of unity there because there was never any squabble recorded by them. Gideon had several of them because he had 50 sons, the Bible said. And I don't think that was because it says because he had many wives. And in the book of Hebrews, it states that these men, the world was not worthy of them. So God condoned it in the Old Testament and condoned, it looks like, in the New Testament by saying, endorsing them, by saying in the New Testament that the world was not worthy of these people. And it just talks about one after the other. Abraham, who after Sarah died, married many wives, young virgins. Does it not say that enough?
Yes.
Does it not say that God never changes?
Yes.
This was not symbolic of any like the kingdom of God, like Canaan was a symbol of it, or those burnt sacrifices were symbols of ourselves being sacrificed. This is just marriage. Okay? So, if somebody were doing that and was saying, and God told them to do that, just as he told Hosea to marry a couple of prostitutes, so that he'd know what God feels like by having Israel and Judah that just kept committing adultery on the Lord. He told them, marry a couple of prostitutes so that you'll know what I feel like up here. Because those females will be committing adultery on you. As all Israel and all Judah is doing with me. This is the real Bible. You've got these goody-two-shoes who feel that they're more wonderful than God, and they just think that God is so sinful. I have a member of my family, she deceased, it was one of my aunts, that told me, Tommy, don't, whatever you do, don't ever read the Bible. Because there's so much stuff in there that I don't agree with. Well, she didn't agree with God. Amen?
Amen.
What God says is holy is holy. And what man, the one world government says is unholy, like being married, they give tremendous tax write-offs now for people that are just shacking up rather than being married. So I don't call that a godly government. I call it a satanic government. Right? They say it's all right to kill unborn children. This is first-degree murder. So I don't let the government, if you want to call it that, govern the way that I live. They now say that it's very wrong to say anything bad about homosexuals or lesbians. Well, the Lord burned them up in the Old Testament and said that they're worthy of death. But the Lord is the one that puts them to death. Vengeance is mine. We are not allowed to kill or hurt anybody. What we're supposed to do is preach the gospel to the homosexual and the lesbian so that there's an opportunity for them to be convicted of their sins, confess them, and repent. Because if they don't, then they're, of course, not, they don't have the spirit of burning in them. And the reason they are not convicted is because the government says that all these sinful things, adultery, fornication, is all right, but you can't be married and support wives and children and everything. It's all right to commit adultery. It's all right to commit fornication. It's all right to be a homosexual. It's all right to be a lesbian, but it's not all right to be married. That's, the Bible says, these are doctrines of devils. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why so many females are out on the streets in prostitution. It's because they don't have a husband and someone to take care of them. They're on drugs. They're living in these squalor and these cheap one rooms up above the bars and stuff like that. Cheap bars down on Main Street in Los Angeles and all over the worst places in the world. They don't have enough clothes to wear. Their pimps take all their money from them. Don't forget, I was out in the world and I was in the record industry and in the motion picture industry and in many industries, the clothing industry and the all kinds of industries. And I know everything that's going on the streets out there. And I know what's going on in the government. And I know what's happening in the spiritual world. And it's for sure that these things do occur. Because people, when they hear the Spirit of the Lord, that you've got detractors that demean the Word of God and demean those that are bringing the Word of God. And then you've got your one world government that takes the Bibles out of school. So people don't have any possibility of reading the Word in order to have the Spirit of burning. Because only the Word of God can tell you what is right and what's wrong. If you don't have that as your guide, then the whole world is full of lawlessness, and it's a dangerous place to live, because there's no law of God any longer. It's a law of the one world government, which the Bible stated was the beast that would be in the last days. And people that will not walk or cleanse themselves by the Spirit of burning are more comfortable to live in the beast, which is the Antichrist government, and is led by the whore, which is the one world church. And they take part in the media that demeans, because the one world media that is run by the whore, and the whore tells the beast what to do. The whore sits on the city of seven hills or mountains, which is Rome, which is the Vatican, and which tells the governments of the world what to do, or she will boycott them. And she uses the government to boycott anyone and the media to malign everyone that doesn't line up with it's okay to kill babies, it's okay to not be married, it's all right, better to shack up, it's okay to lie, don't worry about lying. Don't worry about being a homosexual or a lesbian. Okay, if you live according to those rules and not by the Spirit of burning, to line yourself up with the Word of God, the Lord says very few people will, because the whole world is deceived by this mass government media, by this whore from Rome, by this beast that she controls. The whore has this, the one world government, doing all of her dirty work. She has armies and police departments and everyone to come and kill you or throw you in prison and make up all sorts of lies about you if you're living by the Spirit of burning. Because the Word of God is totally contrary to the one world government, to the whore in Rome, and to the media. Anytime I hear them maligning somebody in the media, I know that that person could very well be getting the business. They make people look like criminals. I sometimes doubt very strongly that Jesse James, Frank James, and all those people were bad people, because they just make up stories on you. Because they did that to me. They made me look as though I were worse than Adolf Hitler, and all I'm doing is preaching the gospel, feeding, clothing, and housing people, and living according to the Spirit of burning, the Bible. And the Bible says that anyone that say all manner of evil against you. And they did the same thing with Jesus, and they did the same thing with the Apostle Paul, and they did the same thing with all the prophets. And if you're not having things like that said about you because you're living strictly according to the Word of God, then you're part of the world system. the beast, the whore, the beast in the its mouth, the media. When I watch the news, I just know everything that they're saying is just reverse it, and then you've got it. Then you've got the news. The only thing I might believe is if somebody died when they're telling you about it. I don't even believe that maybe they went to the moon. That could have been staged in a movie soundstage in Hollywood or Burbank or Toronto or in Florida, where some of those sound stages are. But I do believe the Lord. I'm not supposed to believe anyone but the Lord. He said, let every man be called a liar, but let the Lord be called the truth. So many people think you're just rotten if you don't believe what the beast, the whore, the beast, and the media says. Well, I think you're stupid for believing them. And so does the Lord think you are. And that you're of a different spirit than his if you do. If you're judging people that are doing the work of the Lord by what the devil says, then you are of the devil. Don't you ever judge people by the as whether they're of the Lord or not by what the media says. The Lord says you shall know them by their deeds, what they do. You're supposed to judge them according to the word of the Lord. Well, I thought you're not supposed to judge. No, that's what the media says. The Apostle Paul says we can judge all things by the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So the lying people are by that. And he even says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And he gives a whole list of those signs and all the signs that the Lord says that you could tell if it is a person of the Lord are right here in this church and in many other churches around the world that are living according to the spirit of burning. They are cleansing themselves from all the filth that's in them and not paying any attention to the way the world lives. You're not to pattern yourself out for the world or the things that you see in the world or on television or in the radio or looking at on the news. I had a bunch of people from Jim Jones, they said that they all committed suicide. They were in that very camp and they fled into the woods. They said it was the government that was in there that was killing everybody. That nobody drank Kool-Aid. That was just a big lie. These people that escaped from that Guyana camp, wherever that is, they came into our church and were touring different churches and told them that those people there did not take Kool-Aid. And Jim Jones did not kill himself. That the U.S. government went down there, some senators and people like that, and some troops, and they just went in there and killed all those people. And so then they made a movie of it, the media, the government, made a government movie out of it, and put it on television to make anyone that wears sunglasses, they used to compare me to Jim Jones and the foolish people of this world. And Jim Jones, what did he do? Why, he committed suicide and brainwashed all of his people to commit suicide. Well, that sure is funny because I can't brainwash people in my church to not usurp authority. There's many of them here that in the church that do all kinds of things that are not right in the Lord. And you find the same thing in any church. There's no man living that could brainwash 1,000 people into committing suicide at the same time. And these people said, he wasn't trying to brainwash us. We fled into the woods when we saw them shooting every one of them. And we're here to tell you that that did not happen. Now, you can believe what the government is telling you. You can believe what the churches are telling, these false churches are telling you. And you can believe what the media is telling you. But we, no one there drank any poison and committed mass suicide. Now, we're not saying that that hasn't occurred in some small groups where everybody makes some stupid pact or something, but we were Christians and we knew that if anyone committed suicide, you'd go straight to hell. Why would we do something like that? It's just as crazy as the government saying that some guy committed suicide in the park in Washington, D.C. by putting two bullets in his head. If you put one bullet in your head, you're dead. How would he have enough strength to put two bullets in his head? Amen?
Amen.
Nobody has ever been found that committed suicide that had two bullets in their head. What it was is they had something on the president or some high official. And so the president or some high official had him killed. That's all it is. Use your head. Don't believe what the media is telling you. I mean, they tell you all sorts of things. When it comes out that we had an expose on the Internal Revenue Service that they're as crooked as a dog's back legs, I say they're even more crooked. What they need is for us to pray for them, that they'll get saved, because they're living according to the world, which is the exact opposite of God. And if they don't stop, if we don't pray for them, if the Spirit of conviction doesn't come down upon them, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come down to convict them of their sins, and remember, unsaved people have consciences, they have spirits, and they have the ability to worship, but the only problem is they worship evil spirits. We need to pray for them so that they get saved, and that they'll start judging themselves by the Word of God rather than by what some shaky little pink pope over in Rome tells them to do. Because that guy's about, from what I understand, he's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. And you're not going to stand judgment before him. You're going to stand judgment before the Lord. And any one of us could die today, tomorrow, whatever. You don't know. We don't know when we're going to go out to meet the Lord. So we need to be convicted of our sins, to confess them. Don't live by the code of the world, but live according to the word of the Lord. And let your conscience be your guide. By your conscience being convicted by what the Lord says. Okay? The spirit of burning. To see what's wrong with you, and then cleanse yourself. Jesus cleanses you from your former sins. Nothing you could possibly do but to confess and forsake your sins in order for the Lord to forgive you and wash all your former sins away. But then after that, it's up for you to keep growing in the Lord and wash yourself with the Word. Cleanse yourself with the spirit of burning. Oh, it burns, you know, to confess. It's like a fire. And making you white as snow. Whiter than any fuller's soap. And when you see these things that you've done, then you can just thank and praise the Lord for it. And then cleanse yourself and just receive the Word and don't do it anymore. And let the Spirit stay in you that you received that burned you. Okay? By fire. That's how we're saved, is by fire, going through the fire. And you have to go through the fire of self-judgment. Reading the Word and then judging yourself by it, and then say, I don't line up with this. I need to get myself right with the Lord. And the Lord is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and the Lord shed His blood for this reason, so that we could be saved and then start living according to His Word. It was because of not living to His Word that we were lost. Now He came and washed us so we could have a new start, like being born again. But this time of the Spirit that gives us the power to be burned out with fire, by judgment and fire. The Word. Okay, then what?
A cleansing by judgment. He that has passed through this fire, cleansing and judgment, shall be called holy.
Right.
And he that has not judged themselves with the word of God and didn't cleanse themselves by confession and forsaking are not cleansed. And you're never going to make it to heaven. I mean, this is just a sample. If you try to reason these things away with your carnal mind, you can't, the carnal mind cannot reason the Word of God. You have to receive the Word of God by faith, not by your human reason. Your human reasoning is just that, it's carnal and cannot understand the things of God.
The power of blessing for the world, the power for and of work and intercession that will avail, depends upon the spiritual state of the church.
Right. If the spiritual church is still walking carnally, if they're not purging themselves and getting stronger every day, there's no one can get strong in the church if they're just living according to the Pope in the Vatican and his one world church and his one world government and philosophy of the government and what the media says and then your own judgment. You're no better than the Pope if you're just explaining away the Word of God with your carnal mind. The Word of God must be received by faith. It says it, you're just supposed to receive it. And of course, if you're the devil is so strong in you that you just brush that away like a little orphan, and he brushes away the cookie crumbs on the table, well, then you're going to hell. Because you're training your mind up in the devil and not according to what these words in so many places and in so many ways come to you and you still reject it. There's no mistaking. Even the most uneducated person can hear these words and know that that's the right way. Because the message, every message says the same thing, but it just says it in so many different ways that no human mind cannot know what it's saying. That those things that are carnal, you people that believe that you can lie and not confess, and you people that believe that you can lust and it's not, nothing's going to happen, and you're not going to change. You've just, and some of you are so young. It's amazing that you've become so opinionated for the devil as you have and not received what the Lord says. If you're this opinionated now, as young as you are, how do you ever expect? As you get older, you keep getting stronger in your opinions and in your stance towards the devil. Because many people that I see in different churches throughout the country and different parts of the world are not living according to the Word. I mean, and people that are like that just think you're crazy and a fanatic if you're living according to the Lord. When I look at the world the way it is today and I see that they're living like fanatics, they're insane. They're living according to the devil. They're fanatics for Satan. And naturally, Satan is going to say that you're a fanatic for God if you're living according to God. But the Lord says, you know, you better make your stand. He came to bring a sword to divide the sheep from the goats. The Lord from the ones that believe in the devil. The ones that believe in the spiritual realm against those that believe with their carnal minds. There's no way that a person that with their carnal mind can believe the spiritual people. They just think they're just as shammy as they are. When it's obvious to see through the word of the Lord, people that, yes, that guy is doing what the Lord says. So if they're doing what the Lord says, that means they're of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You can judge a tree by its fruit, the Lord says. Well, if a person is constantly lying, you know that is an evil tree. And if you know that they've done something wrong and they haven't repented, then you know that's a corrupt tree that's got corrupt fruit on it. Everything that it does is corrupt. But if you see a work of the Lord being done by some other person, then that's a good tree.
a person can tell, not by the media, you're not supposed to judge anything by the stinking one world media, one world church, or one world government, but by the fruit, the tree. When I go down to Southern California or Arizona over here in Florida, I look at the different trees, and it's obvious to see that that's an orange tree. Oh, there's grapefruit trees. There's a lemon tree. Amen? Or in Washington, the state of Washington, they're going to go through the apple. Those are apples. Amen? Or up in Illinois, those are cherry trees. That's cherry trees. Well, no, that's a corrupt tree. No, the cherries look real good on there. How do we tell a good tree of the Lord? If they're doing what the Lord says. But if you see them lying and stealing and committing adultery, lusting, everything in the world, not keeping the commandments of the Lord, not preferring others before themselves, that's a corrupt tree according to the judgment of the Lord. Ye shall know a tree by its fruit. That's an olive tree. What kind of a tree is that over there? It's got all kinds of, crud growing off of it. Well, that's an evil tree. Right? Why, it's so easy to judge, but people that don't even know yet because of what the media says, they judge you as being a corrupt tree, when here you are doing everything that the Lord says to do in the Word, and you have the Spirit of God in you, and they believe the media when they say that people were wrong and they had a right to go in there and kill women and men and women and children. I just burn them up and that they're righteous. They judge, or that they go in and say that they just committed suicide, but in reality they brought troops in there and killed everybody. Well, everybody believes that. That's why the Bible says that Satan would deceive the whole world in the last days. Some people just hang their head and say, yeah. And I say, yeah, okay? Yeah. Because God said so, and you can see it right before your very eyes. Amen?
Amen.
You can easily see who's keeping the commandments of the Lord and who's not. I mean, it's just as easy as looking at an orange tree and telling it it's an orange tree or a pear tree. How do you know it's a pear? Because there's pears on it, you idiot. How do you know it's an orange tree? Because there's oranges on it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how do you know this is the person of the Lord? Well, because the media told me so. No, that isn't the way you judge them. These signs will follow them. You'll know that it's because there's signs and wonders, miracles, and that they're preaching the true word. There's nothing twisted in it. And they're living that way as well. When somebody says, I'm a grapefruit tree and there's grapes growing on it. Well, I know that grapes grow on vines. I say, man, you're some kind of a weird tree. Trees are not supposed to have grapes on them. Where did you come from? Out of hell, I believe, right? Out of hell, right? All right? You're not like the rest of the trees. There's nothing like you in the kingdom of heaven. You're of the devil. How do we know if a person's doing corrupt things? That's a corrupt tree because they do corrupt things. Well, what's corrupt? What the Word says is corrupt. What God says is corrupt. Not what the damnable, condemned world, government, church, and the media says. What God says is corrupt. Is corrupt. And what he said is holy is holy. And if you're going to be of the Lord, you better stop watching the world and lining yourself up with it and start lining yourself up with the word of the Lord. Because that's who's going to judge you. Not that rickety little pink old crickety pope over in Rome, okay? This guy's about ready to die. They can't understand why he's still alive. Anyway, I saw a newsreel on him, and he was talking all of a sudden. He started passing out, and they had a couple guys went and grabbed him and held him up so he could still
let that filth spew out of his mouth, lies. And he's the one that's leading all the governments of the world. How can anybody follow anything that this filthy, unrepented sinner would be telling them? We pray for people, you know, that are filthy. We pray, we're to pray for the spirit of burning, so the filth that is in the church of God is purged out. Because there's plenty of filth in those who profess to be Christians. And some baby Christians, some that are partially grown up, there's filth in them. And when they hear messages like this and they don't take it to heart and don't do it, then you're even more responsible. God will not keep you around long. You're like the fig tree that has no fruit on it whatsoever. You don't do any good, you're not doing any evil. The evil is that you don't have fruit on you, though. You're not doing something. You're dead, and you might as well be shriveled up. And the Lord cursed the tree and told it to shrivel up because he couldn't feed the Lord of glory. When his presence, that thing should have started growing figs. If I was a fig tree and I saw the Lord there and I knew, discerned that he was hungry, I'd start growing figs right quick. In other words, I'm a tree that's of the Lord and wants to see the work of the Lord go on, or I wouldn't be preaching about the Lord. When I was a demonic person, I was preaching the things of the devil. Oh, yeah, I liked everything that was going on out there, but now I hate it. That's how you could tell that I was of the devil. It's because I was doing devilish things. Now that I'm of the Lord, now the one world government that is the devil is telling me, and the Rome and also the media is saying that I'm a devil. They never called me a devil when I was one, when I had devils in me. But now that I'm of the Lord, now they call me a devil. They said I was an angel before. Some people even come up to me and said, are you the Naz? Because I did so many wondrous promotions and so on. Are you the Nazarene? I said, who's the Nazarene? No, now that I've stopped doing all those things, gave up my Beatles album, gave up the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all the different people that wanted me to promote them, now they say I'm evil because I don't go around doing the things that all the evil people in the world are doing. The reason the devil's saying that I was an angel before and now a devil because I'm doing what the Lord says, is because the devil can't tell the truth. He's a liar and the father of it. He cannot tell the truth. So whenever you see people telling bad things about people on television or in the newspapers and so on, think about it a while. This could be a real good person. Amen?
Yeah.
This very well could be. Anytime you see the one world government and the media building somebody up, I immediately think that person's the devil. Okay? Think about it. Why? Because the devil can't tell the truth and these people are unsaved. Okay, go ahead.
That state of the church can only rise higher as sin is discovered and put away.
Only the church can rise up in the Holy Spirit and the power of God only when sin is discovered and that sin is put totally away. You can't have a little bit of sin in you. A little sin kills the whole soul. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That means a little bit of sin kills the entire soul. Okay, go ahead.
Judgment must begin at the house of God.
That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Judgment begins at the house of God. So therefore, judgment must begin at the house of God. We must begin judging ourselves according to the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Do it now before it's too late and God judges you up there by the same book. Okay, then what?
There must be conviction of sin for sanctification or separation from sin.
No, you have to be convicted of sin before you're going to repent, confess, repent, and live according to the word. Read it again.
There must be conviction of sin for sanctification or separation from sin.
But how are you going to be convicted of sin if your conscience is seared, if you've lied so much that you don't even any longer get convicted when you sin? if you just keep sinning so much that it just becomes second nature to you. Read it again.
There must be conviction of sin for sanctification or separation from sin, Satan, the world, and our will, or fleshly ways.
Then what?
Ask God to give His Spirit as a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning to discover and burn out sin in His people.
So that's an important thing to pray for, right?
Amen.
If you know that you've got sin there, ask for the Lord to give you so much conviction. And not only for you, but the whole world. Because the whole world is deceived. And if I don't make tapes like this and write tracts like this, the world will never know that they're being lied to by Rome, the government, the One World Church, One World Government, and the media. They're liars. And they twist it. I mean, I've seen people that I knew, and also myself, that when they're talking about me, it's like some foreign person that I've never known before, and I get intrigued by it. They're so good at it that even I say, man, is Tony Alamo that bad? God, did he do all that? When I know real good and well that I never did. I'm not doing anything that the Lord says not to do. I don't believe in killing people or committing suicide or sinning or hurting people. I believe in preferring others before myself. I believe that you have to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't believe you can commit adultery or fornication or lie or steal. I don't believe that you can covet other people's property. I don't believe that you can be a homosexual or a lesbian and get into heaven. I mean, why are they judging me as evil? Because they think that the word of they think God is evil, and they want everybody to believe that He is, and His word is. I've even heard the Pope say that it's dangerous to read the Word of God. It's dangerous for him because then he'll be discovered. It's dangerous for his One World Church because he'll be discovered. And all those people in the hierarchy of those churches, there's a lot of people that are in the lower level of the church that are decent people. If they really heard the truth, they get saved. Most of our congregation is former Catholics. Don't judge anything other than by the judgment of the Lord. Judge all things by the Word. Amen?
Amen.
You can even judge the world. Bible says we're going to judge the angels by the Word of God. We can judge all things by the Word of God because the Word of God is true judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Pray in the name of Christ.
Okay, how to pray. Now, this is the second segment of this message. How to pray? Pray in the name of Christ. Because Christ is in you, and because He's in you, we don't know what to pray. We wait for Him. We seek Him in us to find out what it is that He wants us to pray. Because He is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then when He tells us, then we're praying in His name according to what He says. Amen?
Amen.
Another, according to what He wants. Father, we come up to Your throne, and Your Son, Jesus, we're coming up here in His name. We're His ambassadors. And He sends us up here with His Spirit and with His instructions. His name, we're asking for, that You do this for Him. And we know that You're going to do it because it's Your Son, Father. And we are His body to carry these things to You. Can you read it again?
Pray in the name of Christ.
Don't pray any other way, because you won't hear it or answered. Then what?
Quote, whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do.
Of course. If it's the Son going up to the Father and the Son agree. Right? He's not going to reject His Son. If you go up there and say, Father, I want a new bicycle and a new Monopoly game, or some crazy thing like that, He's not going to answer you. If you want that, you go get it on your own. The Lord wants you to pray for difficult things, things that you cannot do. He wants to show his power. If you got $5.95, you can probably go down and get a Monopoly game. Okay, he wants you to pray for the spirit of burning, okay? That you begin judging yourself. Because you're not going to do that. It's got to be the Holy Spirit in you that's going to motivate you to do that. You're not going to do it. You can't do it because you're carnal. We're all made out of the dirt of the ground, and we need to have the spirit of burning in us to do that. We need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit to do that. We need to be judging ourselves by the Word of God so that we straighten ourselves out before it's too late. Because that judgment of that Word is not going away. He's going to judge us according to what He says He's going to judge us, how He's going to judge us in His Word. And by His Word. Okay, then what?
If ye shall ask anything in my name, that will I do.
In my name. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what? Not that you're such a wonderful person and all that. And people say they're another David. Why would you want to be another David? He didn't have Jesus living in him. Jesus didn't begin living in people until He came here on earth. He was the first person that the triune God was living in, first human person that the triune God was living in on earth. And then on the day of Pentecost, He began living in people. Why would I want to be like David? David was a sinner and didn't have Christ living in him. And only on judgment day will the Spirit of Christ enter into him, because that he repented and confessed. Because of that, and lived according to the Word of God before he committed adultery, and then after he did, he repented, confessed, and repented, and then began living by the Word of the Lord again. So the Lord held that against him, but made him pay here on earth and let him slide by just by the skin of his teeth. Again, he had to crawl into heaven. On judgment day, the Spirit, because he was obedient, the Lord says, those that obey my commandments will I give the Holy Spirit. So all those that obeyed his commandments in the Old Testament will be filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of judgment and resurrected from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
But they did not have Christ living in them in the Old Testament. Somebody says, you're another David. I say, you're a liar out of hell. I'm not another David. Because number one, I have the Spirit of God in me right now, the Spirit of Christ, the whole triune God. And not only that, I didn't commit adultery. And I'm living according to the spirit of burning. I'm judging myself by the Word of God, which the Lord commands me to do. Okay, all God's ways are judgment, the Bible says. All of His ways are judgment. He judges everything. Every thought you have. The New Testament says that He's judged you for every thought. That's why He tells you to pull down every evil thought. People are into this fantasies because some reprobate women and men tell of their fantasies and they print them in all these books today. And people read them and say, well, I wonder what I'm fantasizing today. And then it puts people on the trip of doing things like that. You're to pull those kind of thoughts down and to put them under subjection to the Word of God, to be staying in the spirit of burning, to put all evil things like that away. You're to raise your children, because if you don't, in the fear and admonition of the Lord, according to the Word of God, if you don't, they're going to go to hell. If you think you're being a kind lady, these kind ladies, hell is going to be paved with them. Little sweet ladies. I was witnessing on Hollywood Boulevard and Vine one day, and this little old lady with the shawl comes up to me. And I just thought, oh, what a sweet looking thing. She looked like a little old grandmother out of a picture storybook. And I handed her a tract, and I just pressed her. She says, go to hell. Go to hell. I says, get. She's walking into this Hody's restaurant. I says, get in there, you old hag. Get in there, you devil out of hell. What she looked like on the outside was that, oh, you know, little Mother Hubbard or somebody. She was definitely just like fire was blazing out of her eyes. She just turned into a very strong devil. And so I'm strong with the Spirit of the Lord, and I just went back at it. You get in there, you old hag, you're going to hell. Aren't you judging people? Yes, by the word of the Lord. Yes, I do judge people. The Lord says for us to judge them by His word, not by our own judgment. And if you're judging your own self by your own judgment, you're a fool. A fool is one that doesn't believe in God. If you're running your life according to what you think, or your reprobate mother or father think, or somebody in your family, reprobate in your family thinks, or the world thinks, or the one world church or government or media thinks, well, then you're a fool. A fool has said in their heart that there's no God. Okay, now there is a God, and He's the Word. And you don't believe it, so therefore you're a fool. Then what?
That was John 14:13-14.
What was? Read it again.
Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do.
In my name. So ask in the name of Jesus. Then what?
If ye shall ask anything in my name, that will I do.
That will I do. Okay.
Ask in the name of your Redeemer, God, who sits upon the throne. Ask what He has promised, what He gave His blood for, that sin may be put away from among His people.
What did He give His blood for? You're all Christians. Come on, doesn't somebody know?
For us, for what? Sins.
Wash away our sins, okay? That's what He came for, is to wash away sins to those that want them washed away. But you have to want it. You have to come to Him for that. And if you don't want any more sins on your soul, then you stop your lying. You stop your clandestine way of living. They live out in the open as honest people do. If you're an honest person, then you shouldn't be closing your mouth because you haven't got anything to hide. But if you got little packs going between each other and don't tell anybody this and don't tell people that, and oh my God, that's the greatest sin in the world if you break silence with me. How dare you break silence with me? Well, then you're a devil. And there ain't no other way to cut it. There isn't any other way to cut it. Then what?
Ask. This prayer is after His own heart.
Ask? Yes. Then what?
Ask for the spirit of deep conviction of sin to come among His people. Ask God for the spirit of burning. Ask in the faith of His name. Ask in the faith in what He can and will do. Then look for the answer. Pray that the church may be blessed to be made a blessing to the world.
All right, that's it.